Okay, we're going to have a great discussion this week because I know everybody used this as one of your quiet times this week, right? So you thought about it. Okay, we are talking about basics of Christian growth, and just to review very, very quickly where we are, we started with the foundation of the gospel in Ephesians 2. 1 through 10, and at the end of that passage, it says we are created in Christ Jesus. It's a synonym for our salvation, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So there's a goal, good works. Puts good works in the proper place in the Christian life, but then, okay, what are good works? And so we begin first to talk about what's the goal of Christian growth. What are we shooting for? What are we aiming at? That's very important. And we said that the way to get a clear idea of that is to combine three perspectives that mutually reinforce and define one another on what good works are. And so, what did we say those? So we're trying to hit the bullseye, right? So we bring three perspectives to bear on what that is, and it gives us a clear focus on what we're shooting at in Christian growth. Okay, so what are those three perspectives? What were the terms we use for them? Holiness. Okay, that one is holiness. Can somebody define holiness? What are we talking about when we're talking about holiness? Okay, distinctness, differentness, difference, being set apart, being separate. Okay, and so we're separate from the world, we're different. Distinct, live a distinct lifestyle. That's not all we need to know, right? So what else do we need to bring to bear on our understanding of that? Righteousness. All right? What is righteousness? Okay, being conformed to God's law, God's commands in His Word. That's righteousness. Okay? But that's still not all we need to bring to bear on our understanding of this. What's the third concept? Okay, love. Love. Because we can understand, a lot of Christians are different, but they're not different in these particular ways. And you can have an idea of what it means to be righteous or holy that doesn't include the idea of love, can't you? A lot of people do this. Probably one of the big things that's wrong with a lot of churches and a lot of Christians. But then we can have an understanding of what it means to love that's not wed to God's law and is really kind of accommodating other people's sin. And that's not really what's best for them, and so that's not really what's loving to them. And so once we combine all of these three, then we really know, okay, this is what I'm shooting for as far as Christian growth, Christian maturity. Okay? Now, so what we want to begin to talk about today, in our passage today, is, all right, what are the mechanics in general? How do we begin to, I mean, how does God produce, how do we grow as Christians? How does God produce growth? And we want to begin, we're going to look at a couple of passages as kind of our general framework for this. The first is Philippians 2, 11 and 12, as you know, if you look at that during the week. And so, as always, I want to give you a little background because, again, it's hard to jump into a passage and talk about it without understanding something of the context, something of the historical background. So I'm going to read this to you because that's the most efficient way to get this done. The Apostle Paul probably wrote the book of Philippians during his imprisonment in Rome, spoken of at the end of the book of Acts. It was written to thank this church for supporting him, to report on his situation and about the condition of their messenger, Epaphroditus, who had become ill while delivering a gift to him, and to deal with certain rivalries and factions that had developed within the Philippian church and were threatening its unity. As we approach our passage, Paul has just described how Jesus Christ became a man, and died for us on a cross, the ultimate humiliation, as an example to us of how we should humbly look out for the interests of others instead of our own only. Verses 12 and 13 are a conclusion based on the preceding passage, hence the word therefore that begins the passage. All right, somebody read Philippians 2, 11 and 12. Clearly, slowly, loudly, so everybody can hear. Somebody want to read that? Okay, I think it's in there. Yeah, 13, yeah, 12 and 13.
For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure.
Okay. All right. So Paul gives a command in verse 12. What's the command? Okay, work out your own salvation. Now, does that sound strange to anybody's ears? Work out your own salvation? Especially today. Why? Yeah. Yeah, okay. So, yeah. So how are you supposed to work out your salvation if you're saved by grace and it's something God does? I mean, we saw that, right? What did Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 say? Yeah. Not of works. For by grace have you been saved through faith and not none of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So here Paul's saying, work at your salvation. Okay. Okay. Right. Yeah.
We don't work out muscles to get muscles. We have them, so they get stronger and more defined.
Okay. Right. Okay. And so, what Paul could be talking about is working out the implications of something that's already true, or working out the effects of something that's already true. I saw that hand back there, Michael. Testing your salvation. Yeah, that could be part of working it out. Yeah. How does the Bible use the term saved and salvation? We've talked about this before. Ephesians says you have been saved. For by grace have you been saved. Yeah, there are places where it says you are being saved, or a salvation that you are receiving. But then it also talks about the fact that we will be saved, or a salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time, like 1 Peter says. So, again, what does that tell us about our understanding of salvation? Yeah. Yeah. And why is that? I mean, obviously in some sense we have been saved. In some sense we are being saved. In some sense we will be saved. Well, what sense? And how does that fit in with salvation as a whole?
Well, it starts with the justification, so our status is changed immediately before God. And then sanctification process is the working out of our conformity, greater increasing conformity to Christ with the ultimate fulfillment.
Okay, so exactly. And did everybody hear that? So when we say we're saved, there's a link, though. I mean, we can talk about salvation as a general concept. There's a link between all the three of those. So from what are we saved? Yeah, God's wrath, but... Okay, now let me just play with you a little bit. Okay, we're saved from alienation from God. But I have been saved from that, right? Because I'm not alienated to God anymore. But in what sense am I being saved? Well, yeah. But, well, am I being saved from... I mean, is my fallen nature being done away with? But it will be. So in that sense, I will be saved from my fallen nature. But what all these have in common? Wrath, you know, I have been saved from God's wrath. There's no more wrath of God for my sin for me. There may be discipline. So I have been saved from that. But what do all these things have in common? They all have to do with our what? With our sin. So what we're saved from is sin. And, you know, we have been saved from the guilt of sin and the penalty of sin. We are being saved from the power of sin, right? And we will be saved from the very presence of sin. No more sin at all. So it's sin that God's concerned about. And why is that? Why is that so important for us to understand today, do you think? Why is that important? What happens if I don't understand that? If I don't have the right understanding of just what it is from which we're saved? Or if I reduce that to say just the penalty of sin? If I think salvation is just about delivering me from the penalty of sin, does that have any effect on me? Well, yeah. I mean, all I want and all God wants. I mean, God's goal is achieved already, right? If that's all He's concerned about, I'm not going to go to hell. Right. Now, a true Christian is not going to do that. But I need to understand that that's not really all God's goal, because I can get careless with that, right? Do we ever get careless? Do we ever stop? Well, we're going to see that in just a second. So I'll hold it for a minute. But. Yeah. So what of those ways of talking about salvation is Paul talking about here when he says work out your salvation? I mean, we've talked about three stages. So there's justification. I have been saved. That's a past tense or a completed stage. I will never be any more freed from the guilt of sin than I am right now in Christ. But there's a present tense sense, a progressive sense that's going on where I am being saved, and that's from the power of sin, dying more into sin, living more and more into righteousness. There are lots of ways that this is described in the New Testament. And then there's the future sense where God comes and He glorifies me, and it's all eradicated, and I'm perfected, and we get new bodies that last forever and all kinds of other things that are really neat. That's future. We don't have that yet. That's our hope. The Bible describes that as our hope. That's glorification. So justification, sanctification, glorification. Which one of these is Paul talking about here? Okay, yeah, because that's what we're doing now, right? Work out your salvation. Okay, and that's perfectly in accord with what he's talking about. If we understand salvation totally. We understand everything that the Bible's talking about when it talks about salvation. This is perfectly natural. There's no contradiction here at all. We're working out what began. And as a matter of fact, it's in this very book that Paul promises, right? That famous promise. He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. Right? That's talking about the whole process of salvation. It begins with justification. But it's not through with justification. God's going to complete it, and He's going to bring it to glorification. And Paul mentions both of those in Romans, right? Romans 8, 29 and 30. Those He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's His goal. Christ-likeness. Those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. We get to the end of the process. Okay, so he's talking about the second stage here. All right. Now, some people say this. It's common to hear this. And I think it's getting more common. This kind of faded away. It's not as popular. And people might not say it this way, but years ago, people used to say that since salvation is something that God does, we approach the Christian life and we deal with our sin passively. And they would express this like, let go and let God. Right?
Right.
You ever
heard? You really didn't keep us in the
bed. Yeah. Have y'all ever heard that? Somebody said, let go and let God? Sounds great. You know, it's really catchy. And it's, well, yeah. He says, work it out, right? So, that's the emphasis is it's not something you do. And I think the way that this is said today by a lot of teachers, a more current way that it's said is you'll hear justification is by grace and sanctification is by grace. Now, I'm not sure that what everybody who says that means is this, by that is this, but I know that some people take it this way and some people use it this way to mean that we don't do anything to justify ourselves and we don't do anything to sanctify ourselves. God does it. We let Him do it. I mean, we just don't get in the way. That doesn't seem to be what Paul's saying here, though, does it? What do you think about that in light of this passage?
I think what's critical is that, you know, if you compare it to justification, that which is the work God does without us, then Paul's implying that sanctification involves an active engagement with God in procedural sanctification.
Yeah.
That we're not just sitting here waiting on Him to fix us. We're actively participating in this process, using this new character, this new nature that we have been given.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure a lot of you have read Philippians, the rest of Philippians, the whole book, at some point, and maybe you looked at it when you were looking at this passage, which is great because, you know, if you can read the whole book and then set the passage, that's even better in the context. But does Paul talk about that? Our active engagement in His goal for us. Yeah. He says, I press on. I to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You know, that's effort. That's work. Can you think of anything else that Paul says anywhere that about his experience in this? Yeah, I beat my body and make it my slave. This is effort. This is strenuous effort. You just can't justify from the Bible the notion that becoming more holy, becoming more righteous, becoming more loving is a matter of just kind of passively sitting by and letting God do whatever He does. Now hold that for a second. What is the basis? Paul says, work out your salvation. But he also tells us the basis for that. What's the basis for the Christians doing this, according to this passage? In other words, why should we continue to work out our salvation, according to Paul here? Okay. He says, for it is God who's working in you. So, what is what is God doing according to Paul? He's working in us what?
His good pleasure.
And what is he working in us to do? Okay. So think about those two. It's, according to the passage, he's doing two things. What is he doing? Okay, so he's... Okay, so he's given us the desire, but then he says he's working in us to he's working us to will and to work, or to do, as in NIV says do. So how does God work in us to do his good pleasure?
It's the new heart and the new spirit. It's the new nature. It's regeneration. We have been empowered to work with God in this process of sanctification.
Okay. Now that's something he's already done. But what the passage is talking about here is, and I'm sure that's part of it, but it's something that he's continuing to do, right? So we said we're to work out our salvation, but is it all up to us then?
No.
Okay, yeah. Bring Ephesians 2:10 back into it. Yeah. I think so. I mean, if we're working, we're working this out as he's working in us. And again, somebody mentioned, I thought I heard something. How is God working in? Now we're going to see this in some other passages. This isn't the only passage we're going to look at, but just kind of thinking ahead or trying to think of, how does God work in us to do right now? How is he continually working in us to do his good pleasure? Okay, so he gives us motivation. He works in us to will. So he gives us that. But he also works in us to do. How's he doing that? Okay. Holy Spirit, what's the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Okay.
He's working through us means of grace to enable us to do.
Okay, hold that just a minute.
You're going to get to means of grace at some point.
That's right. That's where we're headed. Well, let's go ahead and go there then. What's the balance between God's working in and me working this out? What's the balance? How do they fit together? I think you can see that in most approaches to Christian growth, there's usually an emphasis on one at the expense of the other. Can we emphasize our work and not take into account God's work? Y'all don't think so? I mean, what happens if I just say I'm gonna try real hard? You know, I hear a sin. I hear a sermon. I shouldn't be doing a certain thing, or I should deal with this sin in my life. Have you ever said, I'm just going to try harder? I'm going to try real hard. Yeah. And if I try real hard, does that work? Has anybody ever tried that?
The Pharisees tried it.
Yeah. And it doesn't work, does it? And the reason it doesn't work is because we don't take into account God's role. I need God, right? I mean, to deal with my sin. Can I deal with my sin myself? No. So it's as here's why I say this is, we're talking about the mechanics, because I don't think we talk about this enough. I hope we do in this church, but I don't know. Maybe not. How do these things fit? What are the mechanics of this? How does it happen? Because we can go astray in our understanding of how this happens, and it can short circuit its happening. I can start depending on myself. I can start gritting my teeth real hard. Fits of righteous determination, that's the phrase that I use before I really learned anything, before I began to grow as a Christian. That's what I would do. I'd go into the bathroom, and I'd sit down before the throne, and I would and I would pray, and I would say everything's going to be different, really, really different from now on, and it would last maybe an hour. Sometimes maybe I could see a real difference for about a week, but then I'd be back in the same old stuff. You know, that just doesn't work. Neither does letting go and letting God. So how do those two things fit together? How do I understand what puts my role and God's role in the proper balance?
Submission.
Okay. Yeah, but I had that, I think. At least I thought I did. And now the submission is true. We do need to submit. But growing up in a Wesleyan church, a perfectionistic church, that was emphasized. You need to submit. You need to come to a place of complete submission. I heard that so much. And I was in the group that was completely submitting every week going down to the front of the church. But that didn't do it for me. Now, you know, I don't want to get anecdotal on this, you know. Maybe it's just because I was worse than most people. But there's a concept, I guess this is kind of a test. Have y'all gotten this in our church enough to where it's going to come to your heads? And probably not. So it means it's a good thing we're doing this class. What is it that puts God's work and my work in the proper relation? How does God work? Do what? Yeah. Okay. Yes. Okay. Now, Tammy, I'm not picking on you.
Okay.
I'm just asking. If I'm Joe Blow, and you're telling me how to grow as a Christian, here's what I'm hearing. Walk with the Lord. Put your sin to death. That sounds like yeah to me, because I don't know what any of that means. Those are like, okay, those are general concepts. They're right. You're right. But practically speaking, what do I do? Put your sin to death. To me, that's like saying just don't sin. It sounds like try harder. What's the difference between put your sin to death and try harder, practically speaking? Okay. What does reading the Bible do for you? So what's that doing for me? Just sum it up, Rebecca. What's that doing for me? Amen. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. That's exactly right. Okay. So what is that though? What is that? And it's not just that. So what's the concept? And you know. Yes, and so through what kind of things then does God work? Rebecca's saying, okay, Bible reading. Does God work through that? And there you go. You got the term, which makes me feel good. You don't necessarily have to have the term, but yeah, okay. God works through the means of grace, what we call the means of grace, and they're called what? Think about that phrase, means of grace. Okay. There is justifying grace that God gives me when He gives me a new status and applies the work of Christ to me in the way He looks at me. And there's sanctifying grace. There's grace that gives me the motivation. There's grace that's God working in me to will according to His good purpose. There's grace that comes to me that gives me the power to do according to His good purpose. That's God working in to will and to do. But does God just do that, sort of zap me and give me all that? Does He just kind of wait, you know, up in heaven, you know, anthropomorphically speaking, does God wave His arms and all of a sudden, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, and now I will and do according to His purpose? Is that how it works? How does it work? He uses means. There are certain means that God uses. One of them's the Bible. What are some other ways that God? I mean, let's get, you know, sometimes I hate this word, but I'm going to go ahead and use it because now it is where it really is valuable. Let's get practical. You know, how does this work? Well, there are certain means. Okay, so the Bible. I need to start interacting with the Bible. You know, and can you think of some others?
Fellowship.
Okay, prayer, fellowship. So, Tammy mentioned prayer. You were on to it. Yeah. There you go. That's right. That's right. And actually, we're going to be talking about that some more in the next passage we look at. But so you weren't wrong. You're right. But, you know, here's the thing. With the work, so means of grace, these are things through which God works. So God's at work, but then what's my role? Well, yeah, it's obedience, and we're going to see some other things. Yeah, it's obedience, but what's my role in this process of my working out and God working in? Yeah, I give myself to those means. My role is to put my... Look, it's like, and I've got a diagram when we finish talking about this that I'll give you, kind of illustrates this. But God works through me, so they're like channels of God's sanctifying grace. It's like God's sanctifying grace is flowing through this. And if I'm over here and I'm not availing myself of those means, I'm not in the way of God's sanctifying grace. So my role is to jump in and get involved in that means where God's grace is flowing. My role is to plug the plug into the outlet. You know, it's to get involved in the things that God has said through which He works to sanctify me and to work these goals in me. And so not to work out my salvation, it's not the only thing that it means, but one of the main thing it means if I'm not working out my salvation is to neglect the means of grace. It is to neglect the things that God has given through which He has said He works to move us toward His goal. See? God's at work in. I have to work out. Those two things work together. Means of grace is the major category. It's the major concept that puts those two things in exactly their right relationship. Okay? So, one last thing about this passage. Why should we work it out? Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Why should we work it out with fear and trembling?
Otherwise,
Okay, so why should that make me fear and tremble? Yeah. And God doesn't want us to boast, does He? Because His big motivation is His own glory, right? And so He wants this to glorify Him, not us. That's true. Where are y'all getting that? Why do you say that? Is there anything in this passage that leads you to that conclusion? Okay, so work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to do according to His good purpose. Okay, yeah. 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 And let me ask you this. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to act or to do according to His good purpose, His good pleasure. So if I don't will to do according to His good pleasure, if I have no desire to act according to His good pleasure, according to this passage, what might that very well mean? Well, let's state it in the terms of the passage. If He's not working in me if I don't have any will or power to do according to His good pleasure, what might that very well mean? He's not working in. And if He's not working in, now say it. I'm not one of His people. And so this whole matter of working out our salvation is not something that's an optional extra, is it? And I think that's something that we really need to take to heart. You know, work out your salvation, for it is God who's at work in you to give you this motivation and to give you the power to do that. And so if I care nothing about doing that, if all I care about is, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven, that's all I care about, then, and I have no sober realization that God expects me to live differently, that God expects me to follow Him. You know, really, if we just express this in the overriding framework of the Bible, if we express it in covenantal terms, if I have no sense of God as my Lord and me as the vassal, me as the servant, that's my relationship to God, if that's not how I look at it, then I probably don't have a relationship to God, at least not the kind that's described in the Bible. So you work it out with fear and trembling. It doesn't mean I'm afraid of God. It just means, look, you better be serious about this. This isn't okay. Now you're saved, and that's what really matters. Now you're justified. And that's what really matters, and you've received Christ as your Savior. Whew, boy, now you know if you get around to it later, we'd really recommend that you make Jesus your Lord. Anybody ever been under teaching like that? Because I have. And I don't know if it's as common as it once was, but I don't know. I haven't been in those circles for a long time. When I was a campus minister, this was a big dispute. You would listen to radio preachers, and there were radio preachers going back and forth. Do you believe in lordship salvation or not? John MacArthur wrote two books on it, The Gospel According to Jesus and The Gospel According to the Apostles, to address that exact thing. It was that current. It was that big an issue. And I think it still is. It just, things take different forms, and they surface, and then they kind of go under the surface, and then they come back out again. But, you know, that's what's really being dealt with there when he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Listen, this is a responsibility. This is something you better be about, because God expects you to be about this. Because He's at work in you to give you the, because that's His goal. His goal isn't just getting you out of hell. His goal is what does Paul say in Thessalonians? I think this is kind of a cop-out issue, but when we talk about, you know, people talk about, I want to know the will of God for me. And have you ever heard of, had a preacher quote 1 Thessalonians to you? This is the will of God for you. What? Your sanctification. You want to know the will of God for your life? Well, that's it. It's your sanctification. Well, it's kind of, that's not exactly what I was asking. That's not, Pastor, that's not exactly. But you know, that verse does speak to this issue, doesn't it? If you want to know what God's program is for you, that's it. And so it better be as serious to me as it is to God. Otherwise, I better start questioning who I really am, what really my status is. Now, yeah. So does Paul indicate in this passage what the proper motivation for working out our salvation is? Look, think about the whole passage. What's the context of the whole passage? What's the motivation for doing all this?
Because we're loved.
Okay.
We're called, therefore, my beloved. Because we're loved, we should work out our salvation.
Okay. So what would you call the motivation? How would you sum up the motivation, say, in a word?
Right.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Gratitude. That, you know, if God has done this for me, how can I not engage in these things? You know? We haven't looked at it. I'm going to go ahead and give you a preview of coming attractions, and y'all remember this. But Romans 12:2, when it says, don't be conformed out of this world, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Paul begins that in verse 1 by saying, therefore, brothers, I urge you, what? By the mercies of God, in view of God's mercy, do this. See, if you understand that, that's the great context. Our justification is the great context of our sanctification. And it's really true that our justification flows out of our sanctification, because knowing what Christ has done for me motivates me to want to serve Him. It motivates some type of response, and this is the proper response. Okay. Next week we'll look at another passage that has to do with mechanics. I've got a summary. I got summary sheet up here, and passage for further study up here. So, and I would have next week's study for you, but I don't know. It's not in the folder, so I'm gonna have to get it, dig into the computer and print some more out. I must have given the last one out to somebody, so I couldn't copy them. So, we may put out an email where you can get that online if you want to look at it during the week. So be looking for that. If we have your email, hopefully we do.